Hello and welcome to another episode of Tactical Startup. This week, we are going to be speaking with Caroline Murphy. Caroline Murphy is she has a passion for drowning prevention. She has had over 15 years of teaching swim. She's also a mom of four. She started her own water safety service company in October of 2021, right in the middle of pandemic. Her services include teaching swim lessons to all ages, CPR certification, and having lifeguards available to hire for private events. Her business started in her backyard pool, where a lot of businesses actually start in backyards and garages and whatnot. With her as the only employee, as of May this year, she has two locations to teach swim lessons, and she has one office manager, 12 lifeguards, and 15 swim instructors and one CPR instructor. So let's get started, shall we? You're listening to Tactical Startup, a podcast dedicated to building amazing businesses. I'm your host, Taylor Darcy. In this podcast, we explore ways to innovate, improve, and level up your business through sales, marketing, automation, and business planning. Successful businesses pivot when times are bad and stay the course when times are good. We'll have guests from different walks of life to help you see that success is not only possible, but even probable, no matter when or where you start. Through hard work and strategic planning, you can have the entrepreneurial life you've always dreamed. Tune in weekly to level up your business. Caroline, welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me here.
You're welcome. Glad to have you. You deal with, literally life and death situations, and very much you're dealing with the high level of it. And I like to just jump right in and start talking and getting flow, right? So the reason why I wanted to have you on here was, one, thank you for volunteering and coming on here, but also you started in a way that there was a lot of what I saw, at least on Facebook, was a lot of crowdsourcing of information. And I think that that's a valuable way to get started. But let's talk about how you transitioned from your crowdsourcing in your early days to what you're doing now. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I think I've never started a business. Right. I really just had no idea where to start. And I felt like as I continued to ask Facebook for help and input, I began to notice, these are real things. And I think they have a lot of, there was just a lot of good information out there, and I started taking it and instituting it in my own business. And so I've been able to really get started with even just my business name, started as a result of, hey guys, here's my service. What do you think would be the best way to do this? Right. And, one of my friends was the one who said, peace of mind. This is exactly what your business is about. And so I started the business, and now I don't feel like I really need to go out and ask for information or ask for help. Now I need to know how to get my business to thrive and move forward.
And by the way, I think it's a great name, just as an FYI, because so many times, people don't envision how their name's going to be perceived, right? People that start their business with Joe's Plumbing, there's nothing wrong with Joe's Plumbing, I'm sure. The problem is that it's very limiting, and creating a brand has substantially more value than Joe's Plumbing. And simply because if you look at Apple, you look at IBM, you look at Microsoft, it's not tied to Bill Gates. It's not tied to Steve Jobs. And so the issue then becomes, it's like, okay, what can set these businesses up for success? And that's, in my opinion, everybody should start with the brand, right? Like, because you can encapsulate so much more with a brand, which is what you've done amazingly well, that you can't do with Joe's Plumbing, right? While Joe's Plumbing might get you, oh, hey, it's Joe, and he does plumbing. Nothing wrong with that. Problem is that plumbing doesn't encapsulate everything that he does. What if there are other things that could be talked about in relationship to Joe's Plumbing? So you didn't just start Caroline Murphy's, you know, swim school. Right. Right. And so, you know, that's a great start, because your brand will have infinitely more value over time than Caroline Murphy. And again, that's not a, you know, I'm not, that's not a slight against you as a person. It's just an acknowledgement that when you start a business, you have to think beyond just the moment, right? Like, you started a business and you were thinking three-dimensionally. You weren't just thinking in the moment of, hey, I want to start a business, so I'm just going to pick a name and run with it. You not only did you crowdsource, but you also gave people the opportunity for input. And I know you asked Facebook for logo suggestions when you were looking and people's opinion on what was a good logo for you. Let's talk about that process. What was that like for you?
Well, actually, if I can draw, can I jump back a little bit of sure. what you were talking about?
Sure.
So before I started this business, I was private swim lessons with Caroline for 15 years. Okay. And I think, you know, ultimately, my mission and my vision in drowning prevention changed. It became more of less of, hey, I can teach everybody in San Diego, but we're not going to change anything. And so my mission was more of, in order to do this, like, I really need more people on board. Right. And so that's kind of why I've started more of like, hey, this needs to be a business. And quite frankly, I don't want to work for the rest of my life. And I'd like to be able to sit back and enjoy and watch the vision take over. And I can just be, you know, I can just teach lessons for the rest of my life, because that's something I enjoy.
Right.
But anyway, so yeah. So your question was about the logo mm-hmm. process.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, that's really interesting, because it feels so long ago. But yet it was only a year ago.
Right.
So, I feel like I really wanted everything to be perfect. I really wanted, I wanted my name to be amazing, and I wanted my logo and how I represent my company, and I wanted it to be perfect. And, you know, I was so focused on the fact that I wanted it to be perfect that, you know, when I brought it up to people, you know, they were looking at other things like, this makes me feel peace of mind, right. Or I don't like that. I don't like the red in that, because that makes me feel alarm. And so I didn't really look at that. I didn't even think about that kind of stuff.
Right.
And so, yeah, so it's just really interesting to see people's view on the logo process and how, as they saw it, what they felt, and how I realized, maybe it's not about being perfect, but it's about, what do I want to convey to my audience, and how do I want them to feel? Not my audience, but, you know, people who use our services. Yeah,
you're right. It's an audience first. you're perfect. And I think that's a valid point. Like, you know, I do this too. This isn't unique to any person. We have an idea of what we think we want in our minds, right? Like, what our ideal of perfect is. Unfortunately, that doesn't always coincide with what other people's perception of it is, right? Like, you know, I might think this is a beautiful thing, and it might be, but that doesn't mean it's right for my business. That doesn't mean it's right for moving forward with it. One of the things that I know that people use, they'll actually use Google, and they'll pay advertising for, like, for instance, your name, as a way to crowdsource, you know, which ad gets more clicks, right? And then until they get the perfect logo or perfect design or whatnot, book titles, that type of thing. And so, you know, using the resources that you have, you know, I've talked about this on the podcast before about using, like, if you, I say this, nobody's taken me up on it so far, but it said, if you can't afford a computer, I will send you a notebook and a pen. Right? Like, if you want to get started on something, you don't have to use the greatest technology in the world, right? You can start with very simple things. Start out by, you know, moving the pen, right? Like, just start writing. Like, it doesn't have to be anything big. You talked about something, and I wanted to get more into this. You talked more about your vision. How did you come to, I mean, besides the what process did you use? Have you read any books about it? Or was it just like you woke up and went, I want, you know, I've been doing private swim lessons, but I want it to be bigger. How was that process for you?
No. I mean, I guess when I woke up and decided that I wanted to do this, it had been a process. It had been, you know, I'd been teaching these children for a long time, and I grew to really love these kids that I teach. And I walk away from their home and I think they could easily fall into a pool and something bad could happen. And so I found myself thinking about them more often. And then in the summer of 2021, I mean, we had over 4 drownings in San Diego. And so I began to research more of, you know, what is drowning prevention and what is the rates and why is this still the number one killer among 4 years and younger? You know, right. What is happening? And we're in California where swim schools are everywhere and water is everywhere. And so why is this happening? So anyway, so you're right. Like, I took out a pen and paper, and that's kind of where it started, is, you know, what can be done? What do I need to do? You know, what is the number one things that I hear from my customers that I work with. And then I started pulling, you know, oh, this business would be really great, but my business isn't just Joe's Plumbing. Right. My business is teaching swim at my home, at somebody else's home, lifeguard, CPR certification, lifeguard certification agency. So there's just right. all these things. But ultimately, I had to reach out to somebody. I have a business coach that I had to reach out to, and, you know, having somebody look outside in and pulling helped me pull my thoughts out. You know, my brain is constantly going all the time, and so I think I had so many things in there that I literally needed somebody to help pull them out one by one. I think of that. I don't know if you're a Harry Potter fan. Albus, you know how Albus yeah. Dumbledore used to pull these little strings out of Harry Potter's head? Anyways, that's what I felt like I needed somebody to do. And because of that, that process of pulling all that out and then having somebody, you know, talk me through it, we were able to create a mission, a vision, and then also help me create, you know, attributes that I want in my workers. And so that, I feel like, was what really got me going.
That's awesome. That is. And I mean that so many entrepreneurs, there's so much wisdom there. Just as an FYI, first of all, you listen to your consumer, right? You listen to people that were your ideal client, right? Your perfect client, that you've already been engaging with, and you listened, right? So many people, they'll offer a product or service and they may not listen. Like, they just simply say, oop, I like it, so must other people may like it. Well, you might have an audience of one at that point, right? And that's yourself, right? If you're doing it for yourself, doesn't have the same value as if you're listening to other people. And then the next part of it is that vivid vision, right? So many entrepreneurs just get caught up in doing the day-to-day work of entrepreneurship, of business ownership, taxes, accounting, legal, blah, blah, you know, oh, the work that you have to do, right? And they don't focus on the bigger picture. They don't look and say, where, what does this mean? And props very much so to you for doing that, because I think that's part of what has led to your success, is because you didn't start out like every other entrepreneur did, right? Just starting out giving a product. You started out having a vision that then you could then tailor, no pun intended, your clients around, as well as your swim coaches, your lifeguards, and all that other, so that it's a lot easier to weed out people that aren't fitting with your vision, right? Because you're no longer paying attention to the skills. You're paying attention to their attitudes, their belief system, their ideals, their dreams, their hopes, their person, right? You're paying attention to measurable goodness, right? I mean, that's really what we're talking about here. So let's go a little bit further. The business coach that you had, how long have you been working with him or her?
Her. Okay. Robin, her name is Robin White. She actually is also, we both kind of started our businesses at the same time.
Okay.
She was a referral from a BNI group. I'm okay. sure you're familiar with those.
Yep.
Yeah. And anyways, her business is Guided Leadership Solutions, and she does HR work. Okay. And then I kind of said, hey, I need help with this. And she said, that's not really what we do, but I want to help you.
Right.
And then through the process of her helping me, she realized, actually, I really do want to do this. So we kind of had this, you know, mutual, I don't know what that word is, symbiotic relationship, but
sure.
Anyways,
you're right.
So Robin White, is her name, and we work. She helped me get started, and then she did some help me get my HR stuff. And then I kind of use her as needed right now. So I reached out to her if, you know, I have questions. And so she's kind of just there if I need it.
Perfect.
But I would highly, highly recommend. I mean, I think it's great on these podcasts, because that's where I was starting. I was searching for anything and everything, and, you know, I had no knowledge.
Right.
So, yeah.
And I think, like some more wisdom that you shared is, you know, if you don't know something, get help, right? Like, don't. And if you need help, recognizing that other people have tools and opportunities to help you that, that you don't have, right? That just as a human being, you're not Google. I'm not, and you're not God. So either of those two things, without those two things, there's really, like, we have finite time, right? Like, that's our biggest issue. And we have finite resources. And that's our next biggest issue. If we had unlimited money, we would have additional time, so on and so forth. So recognizing that and recognizing that you wanted to, whose idea was it for the vision? Like, did she, was it Robin's or was it yours?
It was Robin's.
Okay.
Yeah. It was her idea, mainly because, I mean, I felt like I was running in a million different directions
right.
with my business idea, and I knew what I needed to do. I just didn't know how to go through that process.
Sure. The reason why I bring it up is because, do you know who Cameron Harold is?
I don't.
Okay. He's the author of Vivid Vision. And so I wasn't sure if she had read his book or learned from him or whatnot. But that's something that I also discuss with, you know, when I'm talking to my clients about their business. But it's a worthwhile read. It's very short, very, very short. You could probably read it in a weekend if you had no children to bug you. And Sean.
Maybe 20 years.
Maybe. But anyway, it's a solid read. It's worth taking a look at from that perspective. And I think, you know, like I said, so many times entrepreneurs get stuck in the day-to-day. And even you, before we started this, you were talking about how you want to grow. So tell me about, like, currently you're at one place and you want to get somewhere else. Where is that place that you're currently at? And let's discuss how we can maybe get you to the next place.
Well, I mean, I work in my backyard. My My main, I teach swim lessons year round. I'm in the pool 6 days a week. And at from 1:30 to 3:30 when I have another instructor in my pool. I mean, my front yard, my backyard, everything's just go, 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 and so ultimately I really want to get out of my home. I
Sure.
think, I can't grow here. It's great. I live in Fallbrook, so I can have a business here in my backyard.
Right.
And thankfully, my neighbors actually really like listening to my swim lessons. And so I don't have kids crying, thankfully too. So I have my neighbors come over and go, "Oh, that's so cool what you're doing. I love just watching you." So, I'm very blessed for that. But at the same time, I recognize I cap myself,
Right.
and so that's a really good question because I am at that crossroad right now of do I buy property and start big? Do I lease a building and let's allow will somebody else allow me to build a pool in that building? So ultimately, I really have no idea. And then at the same note, is how much I've put in a lot of work and blood and tears into this. And if I go into another facility, I'm gonna need to put in a whole lot more. And so, is this ever gonna end? Which is basically, more of my anxiety, I think.
Sure.
But legit, I think they're legit.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Like, don't feel like that's the other thing is that we get sucked into our heads, and where we see problems, and they are. We don't always have the tools, and the issue isn't that you don't have the tools. It's that we get stuck in our heads, right? Like we have issues with how we can solve a problem with, Albert Einstein says you can't solve a problem with the same thinking that created it, right? So your problem is you need a facility or you need a pool somewhere else, right? So how much money, and I, because I remember we talked about, I saw this on Facebook. So how much money did you find out that it would take to get a new building with a pool, roughly?
It's going to cost $250,000
Quarter
to
million.
get a pool. And
Okay.
that doesn't include property, anything else. That's just going to be the basic generic pool.
Okay. Because we're not needing a fancy pool, right? Like, I mean, it's not. It's. And then I'm not saying that to say that you can't have a fancy pool. I'm saying that as in, like, you're not
Well,
putting
I'm
the
fancy. I want a fancy pool.
well. No. I meant like
No, I'm
you
just
don't need
kidding.
the waterfalls and the that type of fancy pool. You want a
Yes,
fancy
you're
pool,
right.
but not that kind.
Yeah.
And so that wasn't a dig on fancy
Having
pools.
drinks at the side of the pool,
Right.
cabana. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I want. Peace of mind, Taylor. Peace of
Right.
mind.
Right.
It's
No, I got
all
you.
encompassing.
I got you. So $250,000. And what was your I'm a very full disclosure kind of guy. So, and I think it's important to talk numbers because unfortunately, if you don't, then we don't know what you're working with, right? Like what's the average price of what's your monthly revenue roughly?
Right now, my average monthly revenue is probably 10,000.
Okay. So, and what your, so that's your gross. What's your rough net?
It's a probably about five. Well, let's see. Hold on. I'm going to actually say it's a little bit higher. It's probably about 15,000 on average. And my gross or my net is about half of that, so about 7,000, 5,000 ish.
Okay, 7,500. Okay, perfect. And then, okay, so you've got some stuff to play with there, right? So there's a lot of things that we can actually talk about, and in getting investors is one of them. Now, are you using a corporation or LLC? I don't remember. I didn't do it. So,
I'm an LLC.
okay, I'm not hurt by that. I'm just playing.
I didn't know. I at the time I was doing this, I didn't know that you did it.
So, well, shame on Sean for not
I
saying anything,
know.
right?
I don't know what happened.
We'll blame it on Sean. It's okay. Anyway,
Sean is my husband.
yes, Sean is her
Yes.
husband. Sean and I are friends from law school. So, the maybe I'll have him on here so he can defend himself sometime.
There
Anyway,
you go.
the
Counseling after this.
right. So I'm thinking here. There are ways to get at this point, really all you would have options are loans, right? As opposed to what you really need would be an equity partner, someone that could come in and value your already work labor intense and be able to take you to the next level. And because realistically, you're looking at anywhere between 2 and 5 years before you could take it to that next level, right? And I mean, you've been in business, I don't say only, you've been in business for a little over a year, right? Like October. Okay. So that's not a terrible spot to be in if you were going to leverage your own cash, right? But that requires sacrifices elsewhere, right? That because you're gonna have that means that the cushion of cash that you've got, I use that term relatively speaking. There's never a cushion, really. But that cushion of cash would have to stay completely separate, right? You now no longer have that cushion of cash. So how much is the average swim lesson?
We charge $45 for a 30-minute private lesson.
Okay.
And that's, I mean, we'll probably go up a little bit, maybe to 50
Okay.
for 30. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, that's at my pool. If you're gonna get a private lesson at your home, that's gonna be anywhere from 56 to 65 for 30 minutes.
Okay. Not bad. I support with inflation being what it is, definitely there should be some you definitely want to increase your prices, especially with the drought that's going on with water and whatnot, which I think could be a potential issue for you.
Yeah, well, not only the water, but I mean, chlorine has gone up. I mean, to heat my highest expense is keeping my pool at 90 degrees.
Oh,
And
wow.
yeah, and that's, that's $1,000 a month. And
Wow.
so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what really eats at me.
Yeah. So finding a place or building a place that can allow you to grow. What about using like community centers? Are those
So,
options?
yes and no.
Okay.
I one of my issues, not issues. I mean, I have a lot of those, but
We all
I
do.
really want my brand,
Sure.
not to be, changed by any type of outside influence. And I feel like if I go into a community center, then I've got to change it. And
Right.
I feel like, if I really want to change drowning, then something's got to change. And I don't want to go back to the old way of thinking.
Sure,
So
sure.
yeah,
I'm not
if
talking
that.
like, yeah, no, I totally support. I mean, not that you need my support one bit. This isn't about me. But
No,
I totally understood what you meant. The only thing what I would suggest is if it's a temporary, right? If it's a temporary means to an end, right? You're not breaking any laws, it's just a branding issue. Ask yourself whether it's more important to get to the end result or it is to maintain that. And again, that's not a decision for me to make. That's a decision that I would be counseling you to make in regards to it's temporary. People will understand is what I'm getting at here. If because right
that makes
now
sense.
largely you're the brand, right? Like you're the brand. You have a brand and you're the brand, right? At this point. When you get much bigger, the brand will take over itself. But at this moment, you're still going to impart that via your teachings through your lifeguards, your CPR, all of that other stuff. So that's going to really shine through. I don't think your location, while at this moment, is as important as what you're doing, right? Like the doing is more important than the location at which you're doing it at. So what I would suggest, if it were me, if I was giving you any type of insight into this, I would say continue developing the brand, do it wherever you got to go in order to build, right? Because if you can, I tell my clients this all the time, while you can get equity holders, investors, and loans and all this other stuff, at this point in the business, hold on to the equity as long as you humanly possibly can. Don't give away equity. And I'm not saying you'd give it away. I'm just saying don't bring on someone as an equity holder until you absolutely cannot grow without it. And you will be so much happier because you will be so much further along of your own free will and without having the problems that go with having an equity holder on board with you, right? So that's why I'm saying is if you have a path to get you there, even if it's not perfect, using that opportunity to get you there, in my opinion, is a stronger choice, because here's the other thing. It sets you up better for your equity holders, because they will see that you were willing to do whatever it took to get you there, right? A lot of times, I get this. This isn't you, but I get this a lot of time. People will come to me with this fantastic, amazing idea. And I'm like, yeah, that's a great idea. And they're like, but I don't have any money to put into it. And I'm like, so you want me to do free? It's your idea. Like, that's not my idea. Like, it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea. But until you're willing to put your money where your mouth is, it's just an idea. And I'm not saying you haven't done that. Again, you're not. That's not my point. I'm just using this as the more you show your efforts and doing whatever it takes, the more that investor is going to have to invest, right? They're going to see that they're going to, because their principal goal is to get money back, right? So the more sure you can make it, for them to get that money back, the more likely you're going to get an investor. The less sure it is, the less likely you're going to get that investor. And at this phrase, at this stage, getting a loan is just cost prohibitive. Unfortunately, I wish that was an option for you. But I mean, it's possible, but it's harder because you typically need 2 to 3 years of tax returns for like SBA lending and stuff of that nature. And other terms can be quite terrible. So that's why the bold approach is, what can you do today? You know, and I talk with my listeners about this in my podcast or my show. What can you do today to grow your business? Now, what's your number one struggle? Like, you feel like that it's, you've sunk some blood, sweat, and tears into this, and I totally understand that. Trust me. You're not the first, you won't be the last, but I mean, I'm helping other people build their businesses while I'm building my own. So I'm crying and so I'm doing blood, sweat, and tears for everyone. there's anyway. So what's your number one struggle with? If you had to put a pin on it.
You know, it kind of actually changes. But I feel like, you know, before, my number one struggle was, you know, because I am just starting out, you know, I had to be the HR, the, you know, advertiser, the marketing. And so I had many roles, that I had to not only do, but learn, you know, and so I felt like that, and in itself, you know, then I work 40 hours plus, you know, as well as trying to manage that. So, but I feel like I've actually, you know, that I have hired an admin, and have trained her and found someone who's just absolutely amazing. I mean, I think for the last 2 weeks, like, I've been able to work and come and shut my doors,
right,
and, you know, be with my family. I think my number one struggle now is, I don't mean to bring women or men in this, but I do feel like there is a struggle with, you know, as a mom, as mom of four, you know, this is now my choice to do this and work hard.
Right.
And so I think ultimately, you know, I think this can struggle with my marriage and my family, and, sure, you know, I'm putting a lot into this. And so I feel like, I guess my number one struggle is just the ability to manage it all and balance it. And as an entrepreneur, you know, I feel like it's harder for us to balance these things, because when, you know, as we were talking earlier, you know, feast or famine, sometimes when it's feast time, we've got to work, we've got to hustle, and that's the only time the money comes in. And so you can't really balance that. You have to be able to get that in. And then it's over. And then you want to get back to normal. But yet your family is still, you know, yeah. So it's just, you know, almost like a military life. I've talked to military wives about this, right, where it's like, we've made our life. And then when my husband comes home, we've got to make a new life. So I think that is actually my number one struggle.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm not the, you know, like I said, I'm not God, and I'm not all knowing. I wish I would make my life easier. I'm just saying. But some ideas, just some ideas, and take it from what you will. This is just a meant to help. One of the things that I talk regularly about is that everything that you can delegate, you should delegate. And what do I mean by that? If you are the visionary of the company, then the focus should be on you providing the vision, having someone else do the implementation, right? You come up with the big brain ideas. Like, that's where your focus should be, right? Because that's what got you started, right? This is the vision of having a redo, a revamp of how to save people's lives, to save drowning, you know, all of these things started in your mind. And only you can impart that to other people, right? So getting out of the day-to-day work, which, I mean, if you want to do it, that's fine. But as far as like having somebody else, okay, I want to build a pool. I want to implement this part of it, right? Let somebody else be in charge of that, right? Let them figure it out. Because people are naturally good at certain things, and you're not good at everything, right? Like, just truth. That's not a meant, yeah. We're just not. And so the idea being is finding people for you that are better at things like that. And I'm not saying you're bad at it. I'm a better implementer than I am visionary, but I need to be a better visionary in order for my company to thrive. And so the goal here is to get you out of the day-to-day. What I usually tell people is if your ideas can generate $1,000 an hour, but only helping a lesson only generates $45 an hour, what should you be doing? Focusing on the $1,000 task.
Yep.
Right? Like, your teaching of your people has more value, right? Like, you teach how you, I think it was what, 12, 15 that you're at right now? Is that right? Accurate? Lifeguards?
Sorry. Yeah, we have 15 instructors. Yeah.
Okay. So with 15 instructors teaching them, you're able to do 15 lessons, right? Versus you're only one person can only do one lesson, right? So changing the mindset from you've been doing everything. So start writing out what your perfect world would look like, right? Like, as a CEO, the reason why CEOs make the bank that they do is not because they're good at doing the, you know, like McDonald's, we'll just use them as a for instance. They're not on the front line, you know, taking orders. They're planning. They're moving puzzle pieces. They're looking at life as a chess set, not as a checkers board, right? And so if that's the kind of life that you want, where you're not having to work all of the time, then my first thing would be to implement systems, right? Like, implement ways to take you out of the equation. Write down every procedure that you can think of. Just drill it out into a notebook, and then have a VA, have somebody else type it up, right? Or do videos of the things that you're going to do. That's the next thing. Like, especially as a teacher, like, I teach a lot, and I record videos of everything I teach. Why? Because the video can teach because it's me, right? Like, that's the idea. So find ways to take yourself out of the equation that don't harm your brand, right? And so systems being one, being the visionary, and finding VAs to take off. You've already found an assistant, but even things like, and I say this, the best thing that you can be is you, right? Like, you as a human being have more value as a human being than you do as anything else. And so using that and saying, I'm going to now take, and I mean, something as simple like, and I don't know if this fits in your budget, but hiring a maid, right? Like, hiring someone to come in and take care of all the crap that you don't want to have to deal with, frees up your time to do what you want to do, right? So that you're not burning out? Because that's what I heard you say. Like, I'm not trying to diagnose you or anything like that. I'm hearing that burnout is a real thing for you. Being a mother of four, doing this and having it, but I mean, imagine, you know, being able to come home to a nice clean house, rather than having to, and I don't know how much Sean helps. So if he doesn't, that's a different story.
He's great.
Okay. But rather than having to come home and whether it's him or you or both, right. Go to work. You're tired. The last thing you want to do is come home and have to clean, or last thing you want to do is have to do whatever it is. And bringing in a house cleaner, you know, once a week. It doesn't have to be anything crazy, for a few hours where they can do the dishes and they can handle this, where you can gain that other thing. And that's part of it, is offloading, because your brain should be thinking of $1,000 an hour, right? That's where your brain should be focusing. And so systematizing has more value, right? Because that takes you out of the equation. Companies that systematize are infinite. I mean, just like 20 to 30 times more valuable than companies that are just the person. Imagine if Apple would have been, Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak had have been, and I'm not, I like Apple, but I mean, I'm not saying they're the end all beat all of anything. I'm just using them as an example here. Imagine if they hadn't have systematized things, right? Like, and then iterize it. Then you're looking at, they wouldn't be Apple. Right, we wouldn't have Apple. We wouldn't have any of these things. Have you ever read the book Atomic Habits?
I've seen it. I don't know if it was from you who shared it, but it sounds very familiar.
Okay, so I was on a webinar with him, and one of the things he said is standardize, then optimize. Right. So figure out your standards. Figure out and then how to optimize it after you've figured out a standard, right? And it's more of an iterative process. Like I joked with my father-in-law the other day, he's like, I'm getting old. And I said, nope, you're Mark version 6.0, right? Like we look at software and we say, hey, version 10 is better than version 1, right? But so many times in our lives we think, oh, we're just getting older, or we're getting slower, or we're frustrated, or that other. No, you're version 10.0 or 4.5 or whatever version you want to be. I don't care. So think of it as an iterative process, right? It's going to be perfect for that moment, and then it's not. And then you can improve it and keep moving with it. If you're feeling this burnout, And that's not a slight. Please don't. I hope it doesn't come across as a slight. It's a very real thing for most entrepreneurs, right?
No. Yeah. And I the good thing about this is that I've been talking to people about it. So, you know, I actually also have a financial, someone who helps me with my finances, a CFO.
Okay.
Good. And she gave me a thing that says, it's like a test if you're burnt out, you know? And so, I recognize those are happening. But I think it's kind of normal. I feel like if anyone isn't getting burnt out, then they're not normal. I don't know. maybe, I don't know.
It's more that it's socially acceptable. It is the problem, is the struggle, right? Like I get a lot of people that are like, oh, you shouldn't be eating or sleeping. You should just be working. And I'm like, okay, except for I'm not at my best when I'm hungry. I'm hangry, right? Like, and self-care in entrepreneur world is a real problem, right? So, you know, and I'm guilty of this too, right? There's always something extra I could be working on. Always, literally. Like my wife, it drives her nuts. But you need to take time for you. You need to block out time on your calendar and say, I'm not doing a darn thing. I am taking care of me and whatever that is. Because, you know, the old analogy, if the oxygen, you know, if you're in a nosedive on a plane, right, what do they say? Secure your oxygen mask first. They don't, because you can't help anybody if you can't breathe, right? And so really taking care of yourself and saying no. Like that's one of the favorite, that should be the number one word that comes out of your mouth. Like legit. No. And I know that's not what your family wants to hear. Cause as a parent, we're programmed to say yes a lot, right? We don't want to make our children or our significant others unhappy. And there's, but you have to take care of yourself, because if you can't, if you're not okay, then that feeds over. And again, I'm guilty of this too. This is not a lecture. Please don't take this as a lecture. I'm telling you this from self, like the problems that I deal with and problems I face, not that they're more or less than you. They're just different. But that feeling, those struggles, those I feel, I know those feelings are similar. And so take care of yourself, right? Schedule that time off, go to a movie, you know, don't schedule a lesson, don't schedule a meeting, and make it a habit, right? Like if you don't get enough date nights, get date nights, right? Like take care of yourself, to connect with your spouse so that you're not, he's not feeling that disconnect that goes. And that's just that, not to get into marital advice, but entrepreneurial advice, that's certainly more valuable, but take care of yourself. Too many entrepreneurs don't, you know, they have terrible diets. They have terrible ways of, and I'm not saying you do that isn't you.
No, I do.
Yeah. I mean, because you know, it's all about the quick. It's all about the fast. Yeah. It's all about the, okay, I can be working rather than eating. Right. And so then you just pick up what's quick. So take care of yourself legit, like, and look at it as when you're at 100%, imagine a track star, right? You know, imagine a track star. Their 100% is obviously different than our 100% in a race, right? But if they're not taking care of their bodies, if they're not taking care of their minds, then that can make a millisecond difference, can be the difference between first place and second place, right? And that's true for us too. If we're not at our 100%, then we're the same boat. Those decisions that we need to make aren't going to be optimal because we're not getting the sleep we need. We're not getting the food, the nutrition that we need. Cortisol flows through our veins, like the force, flows through Luke, right? Like, and it's a terrible hormone. I mean, it's good when you're in battle, but not much else.
I did just finish watching that. So I know I have never watched any of the Star Wars until just recently. So
nice. I love Star Wars. It's great. There's a lot of life lessons in there. They're not perfect by any means, but they're pretty good.
They're corny, that's for sure.
Yeah, they can be. They can be. So let's talk more about like what wisdom that you've learned over the past year and a half. Would you like, if you could take one thing and put it into a script, like, we're not going to script it, but one thing, and say, what would you tell someone who's getting started on a business?
Oh, that is a good thing. I think I actually have this saying right on my computer, and it says, be fearless. Be fearless in the pursuit of what sets your soul on fire. And, you know, I think ultimately, passion. I mean, if you have a good idea, it's only an idea unless it's fueled by passion. And so I feel like, you know, that just starting out, you know, I wanted to do something, but I also had a real true, and you can see it when I talk to my families and in my day-to-day life, you know, like you could pull it out of me. Like I am truly passionate about what I do, and truly passionate about the people I work with. Mm-hmm. I really do think that you need to be, if you're going to do something, you need to love it. You need to love it, and you need to want to love it. So that's probably my number one wisdom.
That's awesome. I like that. And I think that's so important, because there's going to be so many times when you're going to want to quit, right? Like, I'm sure you've felt it. I can't imagine I'm unique in that one. But, you know, you're going to be hitting those highs, and you're like, yeah, I could do this forever. And then you're hitting those lows, and you're like, oh, flip, you know, it's just terrible. Like you're miserable. You're like, why am I doing this again? Oh, that's right. You know, and your passion is great. What are things that you do to help fuel that passion?
I you talked about systemizing and getting myself out of the checkerboard, you know, I truly believe that I need to be teaching swim lessons. And so I want to be there in the trenches. And I think that's incredibly powerful to be there so that I can not only not forget to teach, but I can, continue to see the challenges. The children that I teach today are different from the children I taught 5 years ago. I see more anxiety because of COVID, and more fear towards the water than I've ever seen before. And so that has allowed me to change my curriculum and change, see what I need to do to help my teachers. But yeah, so tell me your question again. I'm so wrapped up in it.
I was saying, how do you fuel your passion? How do you keep going with it?
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it. And I like you said, I'm a big Facebook fan. I'm constantly, seeking, yeah, I'm seeking, ideas and thoughts. And, sometimes I'll post things of being like, feeling a little burnt out today. And, people will come on and my support system, I think, is really just they're there. Oh, Caroline, this is something that we need, and you like provided me so that I can have a peace of mind around a pool, which I've never done before. And so that I feel like is, priceless.
And now I have to ask, did someone in your family or a relative that you know, did they drown? Is that sort of what fuel like began the process or?
No, not anybody close to me. But I've been around aquatics. I think ultimately, my oldest son is on the spectrum, and what started, I taught swim lessons forever, got out of it, just because of, I was going to be a lawyer too. Wanted to I pursued a career in history, wanted to get I was trying to get pregnant, and then told my husband, if I don't get pregnant by the end of April, then I'm going to join law school. And April 30th, I found out I was pregnant. So thankfully the Lord said, here's a baby, don't do this. Anyways, no offense to you, but it
None
wasn't for me.
taken.
But
Some
yeah,
days it's
so
not for me.
My oldest was born, and then I had another one 16 months after that, and then I was pregnant with my third. And my oldest would bolt towards water and had no idea of danger and just had no boundaries whatsoever. And I couldn't take them anywhere. One, because traditional swim lessons weren't fast enough, there wasn't urgency. They'd be in swim lessons for 4 or 5 years before they learned how to swim. Two, I couldn't afford the fancy swim schools. And three, while I think there's survival swim lessons out there, that's not the type of method that I wanted to use. And so I just didn't have any other options. And so I began to teach my kids to learn to swim. And I think it was really, just, oh my gosh, eye awakening, like how much these children need to learn to swim and that there needed to be urgency in it. And so I think that just really just awoke my senses, I guess.
There seems to be some juxtaposition between the urgency that you're feeling, and I can feel that, and conveying to me, and the peace of mind swimming, right? Like, the idea that someone could drown without your help, right? I mean, that's pretty big. I think that certainly would increase my why on, if I was in that the boat, in that respect. Like, and I deal with that on a very different level, obviously not a literal, but more of a metaphorical level. People with their businesses that are struggling and drowning of their own in a very different way. And I get people coming to me to help them from drowning, right? Like the metaphor. And that's a large part of why I started my business, because my parents were entrepreneurs and business owners, and they would often, a lot of these things were concerns that they had, and they didn't have YouTube, they didn't have podcasts, they didn't have You know, most attorneys wouldn't even talk to them. And I don't even know that they knew they needed an attorney when they did. Like, it was like, oh, well, I'm not getting sued. Then, you know, I don't need an attorney. Or if I don't need to sue anybody, then I don't need an attorney. And the difference is most attorneys that are corporate and business, we try to keep you out of litigation. It doesn't mean we can't always pull that off, but we try. So we're just about out of time, but before we go, I have a couple of three questions that I like to, or these are just fun questions for you. You know, I forgot to mention them. We got distracted when we first started, so I apologize, but these won't be too hard. These are not
okay.
too bad. What is the weirdest thing you've ever eaten?
Well, I would actually have to answer that with when I was in Vegas 2 months ago, we went to a blackout
I don't know what that
dinner.
Is.
So it's literally you're eating in a dark room. Uh-huh. It is completely pitch black. They take away all your phones, all your watches. You eat your entire meal, seven courses in the dark. Oh, and wow. Yeah, so I can't say that I've eaten anything weird, but I would say that that was probably the weirdest experience eating food.
Fair,
if that
fair.
Is
a- yeah, no, that's legit.
But it was
weirdest,
all it was yeah. all plant based food,
okay.
And I, you know, I'm not really familiar too much with it,
okay.
And so it was all vegan, and so that was probably unique because I was doing it in the dark, trying to figure out these foods, and the whole process is. Literally trying to open up your senses. And so, yeah, that was very weird.
Yeah.
But I would highly recommend it. It was fun.
Huh. Interesting. My weirdest food was escargot. That's as weird as it gets. Not very weird.
Yeah. You need to branch out a little bit more.
Yeah. You know, I'm not a necessarily meat and potatoes kind of guy because I like sushi, but I don't like necessarily trying new things. Like, I have to be in the right mood for it. I don't like if it's too far out there, nah, I'm good. That doesn't say I wouldn't, but I'd need to be in the mood to do it. Like, I need not my comfort food, but the food I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
So the next question is, would you rather go 30 days without your phone or your entire life without dessert?
30 days without my phone. Hands okay. down.
Yeah. I mean,
don't take my dessert.
If you can't have dessert, what's the point? I'm not saying you have to abuse it, but never having it again, no thank you.
That's my only, you know, that's my only vice, really, actually, is my chocolate. I'm addicted to chocolate and dessert. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't really do anything else. You know, I don't even swear. So it's like, I want my chocolate and I want it when I want it.
Yeah. There's no shame in that. You're good.
Yeah.
Last, who would you most like to sit next to on a 10-hour flight and why?
Oh, gosh. Oh, I don't know. It, you know, I mean, I'm going to have to, like, pick an actor, I guess. I think that if I had to choose anybody... Do I want to go for looks or do I want to go for personality?
10 hours is a long time.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say Jack Black.
Oh, okay.
You know, I it would have been Chris Hemsworth, you know, I think that he would have, or Robert Downey Jr. But I think what I've seen of Jack Black is that he seems really down to earth and just a really cool guy. And so I think the 10 hours would feel like 2 hours.
Yeah, that's legit. I don't really have anybody that I would want to sit next to for 10 hours straight like that.
I mean, you put me on the spot. You know, I can't honestly say I'm a big Jack Black fan. You know, I really am not a big fan of his movies, but, you know, I guess if I really had to choose, I'd pick my husband, but that'd be kind of boring.
Yeah, well, no, not boring, but I mean, it doesn't like, okay, that's not anybody, right? Like anybody would be like, there's a lot of people that I would like to spend like an hour or two with, not necessarily 10 hours. I don't know what I would do with 10 hours with someone. I don't know. Anyway. All right. Well, Caroline, it's been so great having you on. Where can my listeners find you if they want to get swim lessons or just get in touch with you for more opportunities?
Yeah, I would recommend going to our website, peaceofmindswimming.com. You know, I think swim lessons are one aspect of our business, but, you know, many drownings happen when because someone isn't watching the pool. And so with summer coming up, you know, go and reserve a lifeguard. But yeah, Peace of Mind Swimming is the best place. I'm also on Facebook. We also have an Instagram page as well.
That's awesome. Thank you again so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks, Taylor.
Well, that was Caroline Murphy. I'm so grateful that she came on. She's an outstanding woman, and the opportunity to be friends with her, as you can see, she's very passionate about helping others and helping prevent drowning. So please, please reach out to her if you're having events that require, and any type of event that might do it, because it really, realistically, and I say this as an attorney, helping prevent that drowning could also save your legal life. So if do it for the person, but also do it for yourself in that respect. So until next time, don't forget to always think tactically about your business, and we'll see you later. Take care. Bye.